شبه تا کیم دم یا خان اینه ما تو شبه تا کیم دم یا خان اینه ما تو گومن آهیم شبه تا کیم دم یا خان اینه ما تو گومن آهیم شبه تا کیم دم یا خان
طوب مهود شبو ببخشا. You may sit down. So how do we translate? Pay attention, hey, hey, how good, how pleasant it is when the brothers and sisters dwell together in unity, exclamation point. And so the psalm is a vast celebration of the goodness of God among the love of the people of God. So let's now hear the whole psalm. And by the way, this is also a recruiting event for Hebrew 101. Hebrew 101, fall, this fall semester, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 9:05. Who's on board? I want 20. I need 20 hands. Okay. Came on a bus, they'll wait. Okay, so Hebrew 101 in the fall. Every fall, one of the biblical languages starts. So this coming fall is the chance for Hebrew, but not the following fall. That's the chance for that much inferior language called Greek. No. I love Greek. Hebrew this fall, Greek next fall, both languages have a four-semester rotation. So when you finish your first year of Hebrew, you can then start Greek and do both biblical languages. How about that? And some students have graduated with 6, 7, or 8 semesters of Hebrew here at Geneva College. So you will know more Hebrew than your pastor. So now the psalm itself. Let's pay attention to the Word of God. Psalm 133. You've got Bibles, please open them. I'm going to read the Hebrew words. Don't worry, they're brief. And then I'll translate them phrase for phrase from Hebrew into English. The psalm begins with this phrase, Shir Hama'alot LeDavid. Shir, song. LeMa'alot is for the ascents. Ascents is the journey up a staircase or up a road to the top of a hill. And these then are psalms for the journey up the hills to Jerusalem. Because in the Bible, you're always going up to Jerusalem. There are 15 such psalms all in a row, all with the title, the Psalms of Ascents, Shir HaMa'alot. So Ma'alah is staircase or ascent or road upward. And these 15 psalms seem to be pilgrimage psalms for the pilgrim festivals of ancient Israel's life, as commanded by Moses. 3 times a year you're to gather in Jerusalem at the temple, and there celebrate the goodness of God. Passover in spring, the Feast of Weeks in early summer, and the Feast of Tabernacles in the fall, the 3 great pilgrim festivals. The first of the set is Psalm 120, which starts among the tents of Meshach, and the psalmist says, I'm a man of peace, but they are for war. Meshach is far away on the vast desert regions of Arabia. The pilgrimage then begins far away. But by the time you get to Psalm 133, you're near the end of the set. And where are you? Well, the blessing will come from Mount Zion. And what is Mount Zion? It is the place where Solomon will build the temple. It is the place where the author of the psalm will place the tabernacle and the Ark of the Covenant. And that leads us to the next phrase of the psalm. Shir HaMa'alot, song of ascents, LeDavid. LeDavid means pertaining to David. And most think it means by David. I think that's right. Psalm by King David. It is David who conquered Jerusalem and made it his capital. It is David who brought the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem and set it in the tabernacle, repaired and rebuilt on the crest of Mount Zion, the highest hill in Jerusalem. So a song for the upward journey by David. Fine rendering of the opening title. And then the actual first line of the psalm, which you now know. Hine, which means pay attention. Hey, exclamation point. Ma tov uma na'im. How good and how sweet. Or how good and how pleasant. What is good and pleasant? The next word is a verb, shevet, dwelling. And who's doing this dwelling that's sweet and pleasant? The Achim, which we now know are the brothers and sisters of the people of God, the family of God. Now, a whole bunch of us know about family squabbles, right? Okay, brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles, cousins fighting over what? Inheritance or somebody's property or just who burnt the toast, right? And sibling rivalry, okay, we talk about that. And when I was 10, I punched my older sister right in the gut and enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. I sound like St. Augustine. It was evil and I loved it. Okay, St. Augustine says that in the Confessions. It was wicked and I loved it. Okay, it was wicked and I loved it. But there's a cure for that called Christianity, called grace. And what we have in the psalm is the celebration of the cure when people who might otherwise be at war are not only at peace, but they love each other. Yachad means unity or community. And here it's the unity of God's people under the metaphor of the family of God, the brothers and sisters united by divine love. In the book of Acts, we see it persistently, how the people of God, diverse in their origins, are united by the love of God and love each other now for the first time. So, for instance, in Acts chapter 8, after the evangelization of the Samaritans, what does Luke tell us? He says the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria enjoyed peace, being built up and going on in the reverence of the Lord, in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, and continued to increase. Notice Judea, Galilee, and Samaria? Who were those Samaritans? The enmity between Jew and Samaritan was as intense as any racism in the American South in, say, Selma, Alabama, 1962. Jews and Samaritans, the Gospel of John tells us, had no dealings with one another. And when Jesus takes that cup of water from the Samaritan woman, she is astonished that he, a Jew, would take a cup, a vessel from her hand and drink out of it, because Jews considered Samaritans to be permanently damned and unclean forever. And what does the Gospel do in this text? The church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria enjoyed peace, built up, going on in reverence for the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Wow! So who are the brothers and sisters now? Samaritans and Jews who together love Jesus. The reconciliation of enemies. That is what the gospel does. And that's what the psalm already is about, way back in 1000 BC. When people like Uriah the Hittite can enter into the people of God by faith and become a convert to the faith of Israel. Uriah is not a Hittite name. Uriah means Yahweh is my light. That's almost certainly a name he took upon his conversion from his former Hittite paganism. Yahweh is my light. David should have loved that man. And you know that story, I think. All right. Pay attention, how good, how sweet it is when brothers and sisters dwell together in unity. And then we have two beautiful similes. Now, what's a simile? It's like a metaphor, but with the like or the as. Oh, it's like a metaphor. That's a simile. Like is a simile. All right. What's it like? What is this goodness like? It's like, well, I'll read the Hebrew here. Kashemen hatov. Shemen is olive oil. And shemen hatov is the precious, the expensive olive oil. It's the same word in the first line of the psalm. Ma tov. How good. Shemen hatov, though, is the best oil, the most fragrant, the most aromatic. What's this oil used for? Kashemen Hatov Al Harosh. Al is upon, and Rosh is beard. I'm sorry, Rosh is head. And then, so the anointing oil is coming upon somebody's head. And then we have this phrase, Yored Al Hazakan. Zakan is beard. The oil is going down from head to beard. And now it tells us whose head and whose beard it is. Zikan Aharon. Aharon is Aaron. Why do we have two A's in Aaron? Because in Hebrew it's actually three syllables. Aharon. And English leaves out the H sound. Aharon becomes Aaron in English, spelled with two A's. And who is Aaron, this double A character? He is Israel's first high priest. In the early chapters of Leviticus, he is anointed with oil by Moses, and the Holy Spirit comes upon him and his two sons, who were likewise anointed in Leviticus, and they're anointed for the task of being Israel's high priests. And so the anointing oil represents the Holy Spirit equipping a mere mortal, a sinner, the guy who made the golden calf. That's the guy who's anointed by the Holy Spirit through the symbol of oil in our psalm. It is like the oil, the precious oil upon the head, going down upon the beard, Aaron's beard. Now, some of us in the room are qualified to illustrate that. I could have some oil and put it on your head, Dan, and you got the oil upon your beard. But your beard's far too short. This is more like Duck Dynasty. The beards of ancient Israelites were rather eloquent. They went down the full chest to the belly button. And we know that because in one of the David stories, David's ambassadors are sent to the capital of the Ammonite kingdom across the river, what is today Ammon, Jordan. And there the local king is a pipsqueak who hates David. His daddy was David's vassal, but will the kid now be the vassal too? The kid says no. And he sends David's ambassadors back with their coats cut off at their buttocks and their beards cut off at their chests. And this is such an issue of shame that David sends a messenger to them and says, oh, take, don't come back to Jerusalem. Stay in Jericho until your beards grow. That is, a chest-length beard is not long enough for a good Israelite guy. It's Duck Commander all the way. All right, so the oil is flowing way, way down to the edge of the beard. But wait, one more phrase about the flowing oil. Shiyored al pi hamidotav. Midot is the hem or the edge of a garment. And the oil is flowing down to the edge of Aaron's garments. If you know your stories in Exodus and Leviticus, you know that Aaron wore a special robe all the way down to his ankles, and around the hem of his ankles were dried pomegranates, the seeds become a rattle, and silver bells. So wherever the priest walks, it's rattle, rattle, ding, ding, ding. It's the sound of priestly action inside the Holy of Holies. You can always hear the priest inside the Holy of Holies. You can't go there, only he can. But you can always hear him. And how far down does the oil go? All the way to the edge of his robe. In other words, his whole body is now enclosed by the glorious fragrance, the refreshingness of this precious anointing oil. Oh, how sweet. How sweet it is. Now, we in North America, especially in the eastern U.S., don't quite appreciate this enough. Okay, I have psoriasis on certain parts of my scalp and my chin. All right, what do I need to do? Certain creams and anointments. Okay, certain shampoos, which give some relief to that itchy stuff. But it never goes away. Imagine yourself now in the Near East, and you wake up and the humidity level is 5%. What do you want on your face? You want cream. Or in those days, you want olive oil. The olive oil is the refreshment from the dehydration of the night. When I lived in Jerusalem in 2011, I wake up in the morning and the first thing I want to do is rinse out my mouth and spit, because my mouth is full of dust and sand from the night wind. and I want to anoint myself because the skin is dry and red and cracked. The symbol of the oil is this wonderfully refreshing thing for the body, and it is perfumed, so the aroma is sweet. And Aaron now, perfumed from head to foot, going down from head to beard to the hem of garment, the image here is that he is fully equipped by the Holy Spirit for the task of priesthood. And what is the task of priesthood? It is atonement and sacrifice and mediation in prayer. It's pastoral ministry, Israelite style. And how do we minister? But by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let that Spirit pervade our life in a similar way. How good, how sweet it is when the Holy Spirit is upon us. That is the gift to every Christian, to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. The rabbis have a wonderful quotation about this. It's not biblical, but the idea is lovely and in fundamental form true. Here's what the rabbis say in the Haggadah. 2 drops of holy oil of anointing remain forever hanging on the beard of Aaron like 2 pearls symbolizing atonement and peace. 2 pearls, drops of oil, forever on the beard of Aaron. Beautiful image from the rabbis. And the rabbis understood that without priestly atonement, we do not have peace with God. Who is our great high priest, far better than Aaron? Jesus Christ, in whose death we have reconciliation, atonement, and peace with God. Aaron here is a figure anticipating the Spirit-filled ministry of King Jesus, who is our atonement, and in whom alone we find peace. You like the psalm so far? Let's continue. We have that verb, yored. It means going down. We're going to have it 3 times. Yored al hazakan, going down upon the beard. Shiyored al pi midotav, going down upon the edge of the garments. And now we're going to change our simile to something geographic. The next verse. That sounds like I'm being Pentecostal. What's it mean? Which is like the Jew of Mount Hermon, Hermon in Hebrew, the highest mountain in the land, 8,000 feet above sea level, snow-capped year-round, ski there in July as long as the Israelis don't shoot at you. And Mount Hermon, 100 miles due north of Jerusalem, the highest and wettest point in all the land of Israel. In Jerusalem, you get rainfall, about 20 inches of rainfall a year. That's half of what Pennsylvania gets. Go north a bit more to Samaria, and you get maybe 23 inches a year. Go to Galilee, and you get 40 inches a year, which is Pennsylvania's average. But climb Mount Hermon, and you get 48 inches or 50 inches of rainfall a year on average. And if it's not rain, then it's snow. And it will snow sometimes in July on Mount Hermon, highest mountain in the land. What's our text say? Ketal Hermon Shiyored. Tal is dew, and dewfall is immensely important in the land of Israel because rain is scant in most of its areas. But there is 3,000 miles of Mediterranean Sea to the west, and the winds come from the west. When they hit the hills of Judea and Samaria, they deposit their dewfall, and dewfall is heavier in Israel than it is here in the United States. Dewfall is essential for life in Israel. Often farmers rely upon the dew, and there is no rain, but there's enough dew to sustain the crops. Where's the greatest dew? Highest altitudes, and in the north, Galilee, Golan, and the highest of the Golan, Mount Hermon. You're 100 miles north of Jerusalem. How can the dew of Mount Hermon fall upon the hills of Zion? Zion, by the way, is Jerusalem, its highest mountain, the place of the temple. Our text says it this way, Ketah Hermon Shiyored Ahred Zion, like the dew of Hermon which falls upon the hills of Zion. How does the dew of Mount Hermon fall upon Zion if the winds are mainly west to east? Well, why is it snowing here today? What kind of storm do we have in the northeast U.S.? A, nor'easter. And you got to say it without the TH. We have a nor'easter, that is, the winds have gone cyclonic, and the west wind has now become the north wind, is rotated around and is blowing now south, and we're getting Canada's weather. Gee, thanks. All right, so from hundreds of miles north, we're getting northern weather snowing upon Beaver Falls, Pennsylvania. Imagine now that it's not snowfall, but dewfall. And the wondrous moisture of the far north, of Mount Hermon, is blown down by 100 miles of north wind and falls upon the hills of Zion. Those hills that maybe didn't have rain for 6 months are suddenly anointed with life-sustaining dewfall. And Zion is relieved of, a lot of sinus conditions right then on that moment. So I was in Jerusalem when it rained for the first time in 6 months. October 15th, 2011, it hadn't rained since March. And on October 15th that year, it started the rain, people ran out of the buildings and danced in the rain. Because, the dust of 6 months of summer is washed away, and the air at last is humid, and you breathe in the humidity, and this image is like that, but with dewfall. And so the refreshment of life from the top of Mount Hermon, blown south 100 miles to Mount Zion, and Jerusalem breathes at last in peace. Two similes then. The oil upon Aaron flowing down to the edge of his robes, and the dewfall from the far north coming down to the south. Imagine now the whole country, 100 miles of it at least, covered in the refreshing dewfall of Mount Hermon. Both images, the oil and the dew, are images of life and refreshment granted by the Holy Spirit, who is the water of life and the oil of anointing. And so, Kitah Hermon Shiored Ahre Zion, like the dew of Mount Hermon, which descends upon the hills of Zion. One more sentence in the psalm, and it's the stinger for the whole thing. It tells us why these things are matov and manaim, so good and so pleasant. Why are they so sweet? Why? Kisham tziva Adonai et habiraka, because there Yahweh commands the blessing. How does the blessedness happen? The Lord Himself commands it. And so it's the Lord who is the source of life and health and peace and all that we enjoy in Christ. And the particular focus of the blessing, the last three words of the psalm, Chaim ad haolam. Olam is forever. Ad is until. Chaim is life. Life until thee forever is the word-for-word equivalence of the Hebrew text there. We translate better in English, everlasting life. For there the Lord has commanded the blessing. What blessing? Everlasting life. How do we receive everlasting life? By faith in Jesus Christ. David and Aaron in our psalm are the symbols of that. Jerusalem with its altar and tabernacle and Ark of the Covenant is the symbol of the Christ who is yet to come, the atonement and the peace that God will grant at last by means of cross and resurrection. There the Lord commands the blessing, everlasting life. This means that when you love one another, people are converted. And when you hate and despise one another, people will not be converted. It is the love of the brothers and sisters that is the principal mark of the Church of Jesus. You will know them by their love. says the New Testament. And it is the love of the fellowship of the Christians which transcends all race and class and language and boundary that is the principal mark of the love of God in Jesus Christ by which we find redemption. Unless you live in this way, people will never believe that you know God. And if you do not live in this way, how can you even claim that you do? Kisham tziva Adonai et haberakah chayim ad haolam. For there the Lord commands the blessing, everlasting life. Shall we sing the psalm one more time, slowly and seated? Here we go. Hine matov u'manayim shevet achim gam yachad. Hine matov u'manayim shevet achim gam yachad. Hine matov shevet achim gam yachad. Hine matov shevet achim gam yachad. Hine matov u'manayim shevet achim gam yachad. Hine matov u'manayim shevet achim gam yachad. Pay attention. How good, how sweet it is when the brothers and sisters dwell together in unity. Shall we pray? Father, we confess that we are not adequate for these things. But by your grace, we are equipped, renewed, refreshed, like the dew of Mount Hermon, like the anointing oil on Aaron's head. Lord, flow down upon us and grant us, Lord, to be marked like those drops of holy oil, marked by the love that is, in fact, in Jesus Christ, our only mediator, in whose name we pray. Amen.